All right, still got guys pouring in. Find a table, guys. We're going to get started. A lot of guys still coming in. This is awesome. Come on in, guys. If it's your first time, we do have a first-timers table over here in this corner. We invite you guys, too, if it's your first time. Morning, Kurt. Packed house today, Jack. Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone doing today? A lot of guys here today. I love it. I think we're in for a treat. A lot of energy in the room today, Jack, too. I know you're going to bring that. You bring it every time. Come on in. Come on in. And all these guys still coming in. Come on in, guys. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Iron Men Connect. How's everyone doing this morning? I'm doing great, Joe. I appreciate that. A lot of guys at the first timers table. Welcome. So glad that you guys are here today. You'll be hanging out with David. And is Jesse here today, too? You'll be hanging out. Oh, he'll be here in a minute. I guess Jesse is coming. Awesome. Well, I think we're in for a treat this morning. We got an Iron Men event coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk about more in a second. Excited about that. We're also, David and I are in the thick of planning out Iron Men 2024. Thank you guys to those of you that have already reached out to, table captains, teaching fellow captains. We're planning out next year. Thank you to all of you that have already said, sign me up again for another year. I haven't talked to everyone yet, so I just wanted to get that on your guys' radar. We are planning for next year. If you're a table captain or you're a teaching fellow captain or both, I'm going to be reaching out to you soon. We're almost fully there. We're so excited about next year. David and I were talking about the framework this morning and the book that we're going to be going through next year, and we're so excited. We also are planning a training. We're planning a training that's going to be hosted at David Hill's home. So be on the lookout for an email regarding that in the next couple weeks. As we plan for next year. David and Keith, why don't you come on up? Keith and David is going to together introduce this morning's teaching fellow and then also talk about the big Iron Men event coming up tomorrow.
Well, Jack is the kind of guy that needs two people to introduce him. He's a kind of like an international man of mystery. I've learned a lot about him over the past 5 years, but none more than we're planning this picnic together. And even when Jack said, hey, keep it short and talk about the picnic, because that's what he is all about. He's on a mission for God, and he's on a mission to help spread that word. So first and foremost, I hope to see everybody out at the picnic this Saturday, tomorrow, from 3 to 7 at Foundation Academy on Tilden Road. It's just a great outreach program. It's an opportunity for all of us men to bring our families, our friends, our kids, something for our families to see us in a different light. They know we come to these Iron Men meetings, and sometimes they see a little twinkle in our eye when we come back, and they don't know why. They don't know if we're just going and eating donuts and drinking coffee, but they don't realize that there's something special going on here, and it's an opportunity to share that with your family, or maybe if any friends need a little outreach, bring them out. And we've got a big challenge this year. I went to Sons of Thunder on Monday, and man, those guys are fired up. I mean, they legit have been training with donuts. They have a rope that they bought. They're training for tug of war. Me and Jack kind of brought that up casually as just a fun competition. These guys are serious. So we need you. We need help to represent. Right now, I think the Vegas odds have Sons of Thunder pretty much favored in 2 or 3 events. Iron Men, we're close. And then Linkman, I think we're favored over Linkman in a couple events. But it's going to be a blast. And we've done this for several years now. We got a great grill out there. The burgers are going. And one layer of Jack, which you may not know, he has a steak seasoning. And it seasons the burgers, the best burgers you'll ever have. So we'll have burgers out there. We're going to have a dunk tank. David Hill may be making an appearance in the dunk tank again. You can nominate anyone from your table. We may possibly put them in the dunk tank. We got the donut eating contest. We have 2-time defending champions as Iron Men at the donut eating contest, but really, I feel like Sons of Thunder is ready this year, so we really need some contestants for that. But it's just going to be a blast. And then we've got the whole baseball field, so our kids can run around. We do some kickball. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope to see as many people as possible out there. And if anyone can be in the donut eating contest, we need some contestants. and free food. Yeah, it's there's no charge for this picnic. It's just a great way for outreach for your family or any friends that you've been wanting to invite to Ironman, but they're a little afraid of the 7 a.m. time. This is for them to kind of get out there and meet a great group of guys. But with that being said, I also wanted to introduce my friend Jack. You may know Jack from these meetings or just seeing him around, but he has a huge passion for talking about his Lord and Savior and spreading the good word. He is up here. When you talk to him, he's usually pretty easygoing, but when you get him on the podium, he's a man just completely inspired. Just fire and brimstone coming out of him. And sometimes it takes a little people back like, whoa, I didn't know that Jack had that in him. He is an author. If you don't know that, he's written a perfect dozen books. He started his career on Madison Avenue doing advertising. And now he has a passion for spreading the good word in his ministries and his church. You're in for a big treat, because once he gets going about talking about his Lord and Savior, he's like a man inspired with fire and brimstone. But the best way to experience Jack is this. And tomorrow at the picnic, you'll see him in all of his glory here and tomorrow. So I'm going to hand it over to David.
Can never have enough Jack. Feel sorry for the guys online, because Jack doesn't know how to stand in one place when he speaks. So he's going to give this side a ton of attention, this side a ton of attention. Jack came into my life maybe 6 or 7 years ago, was introduced to me by Sean Legassi, who's a pastor in our community. And we were meeting in my home in this thing called now Ironman Underground, and there's still 17 of us that meet. And Jack is one of those guys that's in my inner core of men that I love deeply. I love all of you guys, but these are the guys that were there since 2008. And Jack came in, and Sean said, you've got to meet this firecracker. I mean, this guy is, he loves Jesus. I mean, big time. And he's deep in his faith. And I'm like, man, I love doing life with guys that love Jesus. And so the one thing that you will hear from Jack today is his devotion for Christ. I was in Rome last Friday, Rome, Italy, and I was watching Charles Cooper speak. I was fired up. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon there, and Charles is talking about the kingdom of God and suffering. And I was just finished getting a tour of the Colosseum, where many martyrs for Christ were torn apart or killed by gladiators or burned at the stake. And I said, you know, I've got a few friends of mine that I know I'd like to be one of those guys that would be a martyr for Christ. Jack is one of those guys that you're going to hear speak this morning. This man would have no problem being a martyr for Jesus Christ, for his faith. And so if you guys would please stand up for just a second. I know we've had a lot of Jack this morning. Jack's going to open us up in prayer this morning, but I'd love for all the guys to stand for the prayer and for the reading of God's word.
Thanks, brothers. Appreciate it. All right, we're trading. You guys, thanks. Let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for another day to love you, Lord, and glorify you and just walk with you. Have your Holy Spirit guiding us in this life, Lord. Certain that when our time and mission on this earth is done, Lord, we're going to be with you in heaven for all eternity. Father, we've experienced your love firsthand. There's nothing like it. Nothing in this world can satisfy us. Nothing can bring us your peace and joy except you. So, Lord, I pray the desire of my heart and the desire of my brothers here today, more of you, a closer walk with you. You promise if we come closer to you, you'll come closer to us. So we love you, Lord. Father, speak, Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Speak to each heart individually and specifically as he needs to hear it. We love you and praise you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Great to be here this morning. Thanks. I only have limited time, so I want to get right to it. Next week, Keith will be speaking, and then Mike Winslow after him, the Wrap Up Suffering. This is the book we're studying from, How God Makes Men, and we were talking about Job and suffering. Heard an interesting quote this week from Woody Allen, the filmmaker, and not great man of God. He said about dying, he said, you live your life, and then you die. It's a bad deal. And all I could think of is, what an idiot. What an idiot. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know the kingdom. He doesn't know salvation. It's a great deal to live this life and then be with God forever in eternity. It is an amazing, amazing deal. So our topic is how God molds men through suffering. And I want to start in 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Apostle Paul was talking that he had a thorn in his flesh. He'd been given such great revelation by God of the kingdom of God, but yet he had a thorn in his flesh that we don't know what it was, but it was something that was hurting him. He was suffering with it, and he begged God to take it away. He said, three times I asked the Lord, take this thorn from my flesh, and three times the Lord responded, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then I love this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because Christ's strength, God's strength, has pulled him through in his suffering, in his weakness. And that is what God wants you and I to learn from this. That look, when we're suffering, we're to turn to God. You can either run from God or run to God. You're either bitter or better about life circumstances. And God wants to use them, as he promises in James 1, to mold you and shape you through trials and tribulations so that you're mature and you're complete and you lack nothing. It is for your blessing, for your benefit. So I think that real men step up. Real men, real Christians step up and walk into their faith. You guys know what we think about a fan who's only a fan of his team when it's winning. Is he a real fan? No. He's a fair weather fan. He's not the real deal. Suffering is part of being a real Christian. Charles Cooper did a great job last week, and I believe he shared that he believes that we need to suffer to get closer to God. Now, I don't think God calls everybody to suffer in the same way. Some are different, but he was suffering for a reason. Do football players, UMC fighters, military men, first responders, husbands, and fathers suffer? Damn right. Of course we do. Of course we do. We do it for a benefit. And we should do the same for God. We are getting a benefit from God. Let me ask you a question. Would you just do one sit-up, take one bite of food, or listen to one line from a song? Would that be enough for you? No, that wouldn't be good enough. In the military and in football, you practice and train for game situations to be at your best and ready for battle. It would be absurd and stupid to not practice because you would lose. If you weren't ready, if you weren't prepared. So when God uses suffering to build up his men, he's preparing us for battle, for the spiritual battle, to have victory over Satan, who's going to come attack you any way he can. And believe me, guys, he's coming at your weak spot. Whatever your Achilles heel is in your life, whether it's drugs or porn or girls or anger or malice, whatever, that's where he's coming for you. And God wants to build you up spiritually. God wants you dependent on him. It's through the Holy Spirit that we can do all things. It's through God that all things are possible, not through our flesh. So today I want to keep it simple and I want to go right to the bottom line. I want to share with you about a few people who have suffered for the kingdom of God and use an example. The first is Joni Erickson Tada. If you don't know who she is, you should look her up. She was paralyzed at age 16 in a diving accident. She was a champion diver. Paralyzed at age 16. God has used her so unbelievably. She's ministered to millions of people. She learned to paint with her mouth. She ministered, and her testimony, she's written books. She's been on TV. There have been movies about her life. Here is a woman who had every reason to complain and curse God. And yet she praised God. She used life to this day to influence millions of people to bring them to the kingdom of Christ. Here's another one you know of, and let's see if I can pronounce his name wrong. Nick Vujicic. I looked up the pronunciation. I always thought it was Vujicic, but we'll just go with Vujicic. Most of you guys know Nick. He's the guy born with no arms and no legs. He had a small leg. He spoke at an Ironman conference. That was amazing. Born without arms or legs. And we complain if it's a degree too hot or too cold. We complain if the car's not running wide, if our wife didn't treat us properly this morning. Born with no arms and leg, he's a painter, a swimmer, a skydiver, a motivational speaker, 40 years old, and yet he has influenced the world for Christ, if ever a guy had a reason to complain. Inky Johnson, you may not know it about Inky. He was a football player in his junior year. He was a top 30 pick. He suffered a life-sustaining, career-ending injury that paralyzed his right hand and arm. Today, he's one of the most prominent motivational speakers, using his suffering for God. If you guys want to take a ride down to 411 Dillard Street to the Health Central Nursing and Rehab Home and go into room 511, you'd run into Douglas Cooper. Most of you don't know Doug. Some of us do personally. Doug was a businessman who had a traumatic brain injury on a bicycle and has one leg, and is the most incredible witness for the kingdom of God I have ever seen. He could be Jesus himself coming to visit down. I'm not sure. But talk about using suffering for the kingdom. If ever a guy had a reason to complain and be upset and aggravated, but no, instead, he is the sweetest man of God. You spend 15 to 20 minutes with Doug Cooper, your life will be changed. You will look at your life. You will just slap yourself in the face silly and go, what an idiot I am to ever complain about anything. I have an amazing life. And thank you, Doug, for showing me what a Christian life should look like. A man sold out for God. A little closer to home today. Dave Ogden, Chief Dave. Most of you know Dave's son, Caleb, lived 4 years and then passed away at a young age. September 25th this year, Caleb would have been 15. Dave and Shelley certainly could have been upset with God. They suffered. I can't even imagine the suffering of losing a child. I'm sure a few of you in this room have experienced it. But what did they do through it? They took that suffering and used it for the glory of God. They started a grief share program that is still active today, where they come along others who have suffered similar tragedy to encourage them and share God's love with them. Most of you know Dave has started Got Your Six. He's got ministries all over the place in his department, in jujitsu, all over the place. He took his suffering and used it for God. And what I learned from Dave, even though he didn't say it to me in these words, what I learned from Dave is God never said it would be easy. He just said it would be worth it. He just said it would be worth it. And that's the lesson Dave taught me. And the message I was asking the Holy Spirit, I was saying, God, what do you want the guys to hear today? And there was one theme that came through. And Dave is an example, and so are these other guys I told you about. Use your suffering for the kingdom of God. Use your suffering. God has wired us all individually. We all have an Ephesians 2:10 purpose for this life, to do the good works God's prepared in advance for us to do. Yes, it seems like some of us had suffered in different areas. Where to use that is God says in 2 Corinthians 1, the comfort we receive from God is the comfort we're to give others. So what is that going to look like in my life, in your life? What will history record that we did with our suffering? Did we use it as an excuse to do nothing? Oh, woe is me. My life is so tough. Blaming the world. Did we use it as an excuse to miss the calling of God on our life? Or did we respond in faith and love and joy? Whatever the circumstances were, did we use them for the glory of God? So here's the key to everything. It's James 5:10. Man, do I love this. If this doesn't get you, then nothing will. My brethren, James says, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Did you get that, guys? You are blessed who endure. It goes on to say, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. What is that end? He goes on to say that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. That is the end. That is what God wants to show you through your suffering, that you're dependent on him, that he has compassion and mercy and love for you. And as he says in Romans 8:28, he is working everything out for your good. Everything. Not some things, not a few things, not most things, everything. Listen to what David says in Psalm 119 and ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, God, is this how I feel? And if it's not, then see if you can align your hearts along with God's. David says in Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. David realized that, holy crap, you know, I'm going through all this pain and suffering, but God, it makes me know that I need you and I'm dependent on you. And he gets that relationship and that closeness. You guys probably know this story, a lot of pastors share it, of the shepherd who breaks the leg of the sheep who went astray. First he catches him and then he breaks his leg. Why does he do that? What mean father, what shepherd would break somebody's leg? Well, there's a reason why. He then takes the sheep and he carries it on his shoulder for a month until that leg heals. And that sheep learns to depend. I need my father. I need this shepherd to carry me. And then he grows back strong and he never leaves the shepherd's side again. And that's what God wants for you. God has called you to walk with him through this life. God wants to be with you through this life. He wants to show you how much he loves you. He wants the Holy Spirit to guide you. You don't want to miss this. If you miss this, you miss everything. You don't want to be a guy in a bench. You want to be the guy in the game. In the game. Remember, God says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we must have faith and trust that God's word is true. In the book, Pat Morley says this. This is a great line. God makes men by allowing us to gain through suffering what can be gained no other way. You can't get that any other way, that dependence on God. There's many other great examples of people who suffered. Joseph, David, Jeremiah, Noah, the blind guy in John. And of course, Jesus was the greatest example of all of suffering for the will of God. Listen to what Job said as we wrap up. In Job 23:10. Now remember, you guys know the story of Job because you all read the book, right? And if you didn't read that one, then you've certainly been reading this one night and day. So you know the story. Job lost everything, in case you don't know. And seriously, maybe everybody doesn't. Job had everything and he lost everything in a test as Satan was testing God. And Satan said, look, Job only loves you because you give him everything. You're blessing the snot out of him. He's your guy. So you love him. You're giving everything. And God said, no, he loves me. The other stuff is not why he loves me. He loves me because of me. And so Satan and God had a little bet, like in Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. Kind of like that. And they did that. They took everything away from Job, and Job still loved God. And here's what Job says in verse 23. And Job lost everything. His wife died, his kids died, all his money, his health, everything. And he says this, when he tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I was talking to a pastor buddy you don't know yesterday, and I was telling him I was preaching on Job this morning. And he said, Jack, Job isn't a book about suffering. It's a book about faith. Because Job had faith in God no matter what. It's a book about faith. We need to have faith in God. And God said there was no one like Job in the world at that time. There was no one like Job because Job was God's number one man of faith sold out for God. But I'm thinking about that today. Now that we have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our heart, we should all be like that. It should be the exception, the guy who's not like that. Because we have the Holy Spirit. We walk with God. We know the truth. The bottom line is trusting God with the outcome of all things in your life and giving him glory no matter what. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. All circumstances. Give thanks in suffering because God is using it to mold you and shape you. So here's the key question for you today. And this is the one that's going to test your own heart. It's just between you and God. But here's the question I have. Would you suffer for money? If I gave you $10 million, which is, you know, with inflation getting eaten up, but it's still a nice number. Still a nice number. Less than your average ball player, announcer, or football coach, but still a nice number. If I gave you $10 million, would you live in the woods for a year? If I gave you $10 million, would you give up your car and not drive for a year? Would you give up the internet for a year? Would you walk as a blind man for a year? Would you live in a freezing city for a year? You know what? I really believe every single one of you guys would do any one of those things for $10 million because you know that after that year, I have the value of that $10 million. It would be worth it to suffer to get that benefit that can bless me the rest of my life. So let me get this right. We would do it for money, but not for God. How tragic is that? We would do it for money, but not for God. I believe Charles Cooper last week told us to have a heart after God, to want all of God, to not miss any of God's blessings here on heaven and earth. So we're in heaven one day, and you know, maybe we didn't respond the way God wanted. And we're saying, hey, God, I don't understand this. How come all those guys are up there getting all these awards, and I'm down here, I'm not getting any awards? And God says, oh, no problem. Remember I asked you to suffer for me in the kingdom? And you said no. You said it would make you uncomfortable. And you chose the comforts of the flesh over the glory of the kingdom. May that never be said of any one of us in this room here today. How beautiful is this? Pat Morley says in the book, suffering allows us to hear the voice of God in the key that is audible only to the ears of the brokenhearted. So lastly, listen to how Job worked in God's life and blessed Job's suffering. Job 42 says, now the Lord blessed the later days of Job's life more than the beginning. He blessed the second half of his life better than the first. How is that possible? When Job lost everything, his wife was dead. His kids were dead. His cattle, his money, everything, his health was gone, completely everything gone. Well, it was impossible by our standards, by the world standards, but with God, all things are possible. And God restored to Job. Job lived another 140 years. He got 140,000 sheep. He had new wife, seven more kids. God brought it back. God can do the impossible. Let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, I'm reminded of the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man is separated from God and hell. And Lazarus, who was a beggar, not Lazarus who Jesus raised from the dead, but Lazarus the beggar, is sitting at Abraham's bosom. And Abraham says, hey, rich man, you got all your comfort while you're in the world. Lazarus suffered in the world. Now he is here with me being comforted. Lord, we love you and we trust you. And you've told us, Lord, that it's all about eternity. We're just strangers passing through. Our citizenship's in heaven. These 70, 80, 90 years, if we're lucky enough to get them, are just like a mist breath on a cool air, here and then gone, puff in an instant. And you've told us, Lord, to work for treasures that don't rust, moth, and decay, not to be distracted by Satan's lies and to put our focus on the things of the world that are so meaningless, but to work for spiritual riches. And Lord, you've told us that you'll work through our sufferings and trials, that you're using them for your glory. So Father, whatever you give us in life, may we rejoice every day. We may rejoice that we're already kings, that we already have the kingdom, that we have you, Holy Spirit, in our life. Father, I pray that we would look differently upon our circumstances and our suffering, that truly we would learn to give thanks to you in all things, not because we understand all things and not because we like all things, but because you are working all things for our good. I'm a parent. I have three kids. There are things I did when they were little kids, took stuff away from them that they thought, oh, you must hate me if you don't let me have what I want. But it's because I love you that I don't let you have it. But you just can't see that. You just can't understand. Father, we know we'll see you face to face, and now we know in part and then we know in full. But we know now we're supposed to trust you and walk in faith and love you. So Lord, let us learn to rejoice in all things. Let us learn to embrace our sufferings. Let us learn to use them like Dave and Shelley Ogden to help others. Yeah, we suffered. Yeah, we didn't enjoy it, but we used it for the glory of God, and I believe that's your desire for every man in this room. We love you and praise you, Lord. Bless us in our discussion. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
How you guys doing? How you feeling? I feel like I just had like 47 jumper cables hooked up to my body, and I'm fired up. Let's jump into table time, guys. I just have a feeling it's going to be a special one. We have a lot to talk about. So table captains, I'm going to give the floor to you. Jack, thank you so much for this morning.